Week 4, Day 2. Scripture reading, Esther chapter 1 and 2. Now in the days of Ahasuerus, the Ahasuerus who reigned from India to Ethiopia over 127 provinces, in those days when King Ahasuerus sat on his royal throne in Susa, the citadel, in the third year of his reign, he gave a feast for all his officials and servants. The army of Persia and Media and the nobles and governors of the provinces were before him, while he showed the riches of his royal glory and the splendor and pomp of his greatness for many days, 180 days. And when these days were completed, the king gave for all the people present in Susa the citadel, both great and small, a feast lasting for 7 days in the court of the garden of the king's palace. There were white cotton curtains and violet hangings fastened with cords of fine linen and purple to silver rods and marble pillars, and also couches of gold and silver on a mosaic pavement of porphyry, marble, mother of pearl, and precious stones. Drinks were served in golden vessels, vessels of different kinds, and the royal wine was lavished according to the bounty of the king, and drinking was according to this edict. There is no compulsion. For the king had given orders to all the staff of his palace to do as each man desired. Queen Vashti also gave a feast for the women in the palace that belonged to King Ahasuerus. On the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehuman, Biztha, Harbona, Bigtha, and Abagtha, Zithar, and Carcass, the 7 eunuchs who served in the presence of King Ahasuerus, to bring Queen Vashti before the king with her royal crown in order to show the peoples and the princes her beauty, for she was lovely to look at. But Queen Vashti refused to come at the king's command delivered by the eunuchs. At this, the king became enraged and his anger burned within him. Then the king said to the wise men who knew the times, for this was the king's procedure toward all who were versed in law and judgment, the men next to him being Karshina, Sithar, Admatha, Tarshish, Meris, Marsina, and Memucan, the 7 princes of Persia and Media who saw the king's face and sat first in the kingdom. According to the law, what is to be done with Queen Vashti because she has not performed the command of King Ahasuerus, delivered by the eunuchs? Then Memucan said in the presence of the king and the officials, not only against the king has Queen Vashti done wrong, but also against all the officials and all the peoples who are in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus. For the queen's behavior will be made known to all women, causing them to look at their husbands with contempt, since they will say, King Ahasuerus commanded Queen Vashti to be brought before him, and she did not come. This very day, the noble women of Persia and Media who have heard of the queen's behavior will say the name to all the king's officials, and there will be contempt and wrath in plenty. If it please the king, let a royal order go out from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes, so that it may not be repealed, that Vashti is never again to come before King Ahasuerus. And let the king give her royal position to another, who is better than she. So when the decree made by the king is proclaimed throughout all the kingdom, for it is vast, all women will give honor to their husbands, high and low alike. This advice pleased the king and the princes, and the king did as Memucan proposed. He sent letters to all the royal provinces, to every province in his own script, and to every people in its own language, that every man be master in his own household, and speak according to the language of his people. Chapter 2. After these things, when the anger of King Ahasuerus had abated, he remembered Vashti and what she had done, and what had been decreed against her. Then the king's young men who attended him said, let beautiful young virgins be sought out for the king, and let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom to gather all the beautiful young virgins to the harem in Susa, the citadel, under custody of Hegai, the king's eunuch, who is in charge of the women. Let their cosmetics be given them, and let the young woman, who also pleases the king, be queen instead of Vashti. This pleased the king, and he did so. Now there was a Jew in Susa, the citadel, whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem among the captives, carried away with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away. He was bringing up Hadassah, that is, Esther, the daughter of his uncle, for she had neither father nor mother. The young woman had a beautiful figure and was lovely to look at. And when her father and her mother died, Mordecai took her as his own daughter. So when the king's order and his edict were proclaimed, and when many young women were gathered in Susa the citadel in custody of Haggai, Esther also was taken into the king's palace and put in custody of Haggai, who had charge of the women. And the young woman pleased him and won his favor. And he quickly provided her with her cosmetics and her portion of food, and with 7 chosen young women from the king's palace, and advanced her and her young women to the best place in the harem. Esther had not made known her people or kindred, for Mordecai had commanded her not to make it known. And every day, Mordecai walked in front of the court of the harem to learn how Esther was and what was happening to her. Now, when the turn came for each young woman to go into King Ahasuerus, after being 12 months under the regulations for the women, since this was the regular period of their beautifying, 6 months with oil of myrrh and 6 months with spices and ointments for women, when the young woman went into the king in this way, she was given whatever she desired to take with her from the harem to the king's palace. In the evening, she would go in, and in the morning she would return to the second harem in custody of Shaashgaz, the king's eunuch who was in charge of the concubines. She would not go into the king again unless the king delighted in her and was summoned by name. When the turn came for Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her as his own daughter, to go into the king, she asked for nothing except what Haggai, the king's eunuch, who had charge of the women, advised. Now, Esther was winning favor in the eyes of all who saw her. And when Esther was taken to King Ahasuerus into his royal palace, in the 10th month, which is the month of Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign, the king loved Esther more than all the women, and she won grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Then the king gave a great feast for all his officials and servants. It was Esther's feast. He also granted a remission of taxes to the provinces and gave gifts with royal generosity. Now when the virgins were gathered together the second time, Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate. Esther had not made known her kindred or her people, as Mordecai had commanded her, for Esther obeyed Mordecai, just as when she was brought up by him. In those days, as Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate, Bigthan and Teresh, 2 of the king's eunuchs, who guarded the threshold, became angry and sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. And this came to the knowledge of Mordecai, and he told it to Queen Esther. And Esther told the king in the name of Mordecai. When the affair was investigated and found to be so, the men were both hanged on the gallows. And it was recorded in the book of the Chronicles in the presence of the king. Character Time by Leif Kotzevis. Reading Esther in one sitting means there are no spoilers when going back to glean more insight. Only opportunities to connect dots, uncover clues, and discover patterns. Take the names in this story. Many of these remarkable people appear to have more than one name. This becomes useful when tracking them through ancient historical records. Ahasuerus. His name from the Hebrew is Ahasuerus. He's also known as Xerxes, the Greek transliteration of his Persian name, Kesharshan. We have Vashti. There are no historical references to Vashti outside of the Esther story. Some historians weakly suggest that this was a mistress. Others claim Vashti to be the ancient title Avestan Vahishta, meaning the best, as in my favorite wife. Right. Esther, her Persian name echoes the goddess Ishtar and also means star. Esther's Hebrew name Hadassah means myrtle. Next is Mordecai, likely a Hebrew derivative of the Babylonian god Marduk. Notably, he is called Mordecai the Jew throughout the story. Then Haman, often referred to as Haman the Agagite. Some scholars see this title tying Haman to the old Amalekite king and the enemy of Israel during the time of King Saul. Aside from the research value, there is another meaningful component to names. Throughout scripture, many individuals have received new names at transformational moments in life. For conquered exiles, new names were designed to highlight new identities or erase their past. More significantly, we see the likes of Abram, Jacob, Hoshea, and Saul as positive examples in getting new names. Revelation 2:17 and 3:12 also record instances of a new name holding great meaning well into eternity's future. Perhaps names are worth more time to ponder. The timeline of events in Esther is itself worth exploring for valuable context. Chapter 1 introduces us to Ahasuerus, Vashti, and the backstory to the main plot up ahead. There is certainly much to examine on the surface, but this book is about reading between the lines and finding what's hidden. For 6 months, an arrogant king indulges in boasting and displays of excess within his sphere of influence. This is capped off by an opulent 7-day drunk fest for the public, where he foolishly discards Vashti. What's this really about? And clues whisper in chapter 1, verse 3, and chapter 2, verse 16. 4 years have passed between Vashti's exit and Esther's entrance. History records the defeat of Xerxes by the Greeks at Salamis in this time period. The lavish campaign to prime a nation's appetite for war ends in the humiliating return of a disgraced conqueror to an empty home. Suffering failure, the one on the throne now seeks to fill a gaping void with more carnal desires. And yet, somehow, through the darkness of man's depravity, a star shines, and beauty once again fills the palace halls. Unbeknownst to all, Yahweh is quietly weaving his sovereign will through the actions of men, however flawed and evil they might be. Question 1. Followers of Christ identify as Christians. How significant is this name? Question 2. According to 1 Peter 1:17 and 2 Peter 2:11, how can Christians relate to Esther, Mordecai, Daniel, and Nehemiah? Daily prayer. Father, sometimes it's hard to make the right choices while living in a foreign land. Help me to discern what is pleasing to you. I want to represent your name and kingdom well here in the field you have placed me, wherever it might be. In Jesus' name, amen.